Deciding where to bank is no small task. It's a matter of trust, confidence, and benefits. The more, the merrier. At Addition Financial Credit Union, we're all about more. More challenges overcome, more financial knowledge gained, more empowering you to reach your long-term financial goals. That's because we're more than just a bank. We're your financial partner, and we'll be with you every step of the way. Count us in at additionfi.com. That's additionfi.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Real News on this early Thursday morning. And the title for my podcast is Public Enemy Number One. Once again, Elon Musk, part 3 of 3. I'm not sure how long I'm going to go with this series. Actually, this should have been part 5 because if not sure if you're on Twitter or living under a rock or in the Stone Age, but on December 12th, a journalist named she's a founder and editor of the Free Press, Barry Wise, it's a woman, I think I got her name right, she posted the Twitter files part 5. So I didn't go over every single file because on my first and second episode, I kind of did a rundown, right? And told you about when the first Twitter file dropped. Basically, for those to catch up that haven't seen the first two episodes of this series about Public Enemy Number One, Elon Musk, just to give you a quick rundown in case you haven't seen it. I spoke about Elon Musk. Of course, he bought Twitter, for those that don't know. And he's basically just going through and pulling out all the dirt. The dirt is the top brass, the top people at Twitter during the 2020 presidential election, folks, interfered. And they blocked conservatives. They blocked conservatives speaking out and journalists speaking out about Hunter Biden's laptop, which referred to the big guy, meaning Joe Biden getting kickback money from Ukraine. These are facts, folks. Even though Twitter at the time, Elon Musk released the Twitter files that shows actual emails between top executive operatives within Twitter at the time, using loopholes, knowing that Trump did not break any terms of service violations with Twitter, but they were doing everything to make the case to ban Trump and to flag conservatives, which I talked about in my other past podcast. But this one's going to be about December 12th. Barry Wise went on. And basically, I'm going to read what she said. On the morning of January 8th, President Donald Trump, with one remaining strike before being at risk of permanent suspension from Twitter, tweets twice. Basically, to catch you up, in the emails prior to this, the top brass, the top people at Twitter, was talking to other people that was running Twitter, and they were like, you know, they were trying to make the case. They're like, are we going to give this guy one more chance? Are we going to give him two more chances? So they decided that they were going to give him one more chance. But Trump on January 8th tweeted twice. His first tweet was on January 8th at 6:46 a.m. And he said the following: the 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America First, and Make America Great Again, will have a giant voice long into the future. They will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form. And what had happened, basically behind the scenes, so I'm going to stop right there for a second. What had happened right after that is top executives went crazy. And in the internal emails uncovered from Elon Musk, they were talking and they're like, should we ban him now? Let's ban him now. Like, there was people that were hungry to ban Donald Trump. But believe it or not, there was some people that was against it. It was a minority, but there was people. There was a guy in there that was actually from China and that worked at Twitter. And he was like, look, man, I know about fucking communism. You know, we don't have the right to stop this guy. And he was basically making a case saying, I don't see nothing wrong with that tweet. But of course, the liberals, the left, the socialist, the commies that was inside Twitter at the time, before Elon Musk purchased it, what had happened was they were saying, We take this as a terrorist threat. Of course, the part that he says, they will not be disrespected or treated unfairly. And then at 7:44 a.m., he said the following to all of those who have asked, I will not be going to the inauguration on January 20th. That's it. That's all he said, folks. And so anyway, let me go on for what she said after that. She said, for years, Twitter had resisted calls, both internal and external, to ban Trump on the grounds that blocking a world leader from the platform or removing their controversial tweets would hide important information that people should be able to see and debate. That's a fair assessment. And so what was happening was, the people on the inside just have that one way of thinking. They hate Republicans. They resist, and they let their feelings in front of what they were really standing for. So basically, Elon Musk is saying, look, this is wrong. This is what these guys did. So anyway, Twitter went on. This lady went on to talk about Twitter, and she says, our mission is to provide a forum that enables people to be informed and to engage their leaders directly. And the company, Twitter, wrote that in 2019 as their terms of service document. And they said Twitter's aim was to protect the public's right to hear from their leaders and to hold them to account. But it says after January 6th, as these journalists have documented, pressure grew both inside and outside of Twitter to ban Trump. So I'm going to read to you this email between different people. So the guy from China I was talking about, he said in an email, you know, maybe because I'm from China, I deeply understand how censorship can destroy the public conversation. So then other people said, I understand this fear, but I also think it's important to understand that censorship by a government is very different than censorship of the government. The First Amendment in the U.S. and similar legislation in other countries with similar concepts exists specifically to prevent the government from silencing the people. So that's the people that were pretty much on Trump's side. So then, of course, it says after January 6th, this lady went on, this journalist, Twitter employees organized to demand their employer ban Trump. There was a lot of employee advocacy happening. So anyway, here is the snowflake. Don't know his name, but this is one of the snowflakes that went on in the email and said, I am still struggling to understand the decision not to ban Trump altogether, given he is inciting people to violence that has led to people being killed. And I think we owe people an explanation externally. And somebody else said, this is the elephant in the room. And somebody else says, if Alex Jones was shut down for get your battle rifles, he's far exceeded that standard. And then they went on, other people said, I think a lot of employees must share these concerns. Is there any sort of channel or group where we can organize more action? And another person said, there's a lot of employee advocacy happening here and there. Another person said, I understand he was our president, and that may have been the reason why we were hesitant to do it. But I think come January 20th, there's absolutely no excuse why his account shouldn't be suspended for good. My friends feel that way also. So this was in the Twitter. This is a Twitter emails that was uncovered from Elon Musk. And they were basically just going off after that. Another one said, we have to do the right thing here and ban this account immediately. Another one said, it's pretty obvious he's going to try to thread the needle of incitement without violating the rules. So, in other words, they just wanted to shut this fucking guy down, right? Okay, so let me go on. So, Barry Wise, this journalist, went on to say, in the early afternoon of January 8th, the Washington Post published an open letter signed by over 300 Twitter employees to CEO at the time, Jack Dorsey, demanding Trump's ban. So over 300 Twitter employees signed this thing. They said, we must examine Twitter's complicity in what President-elect Biden has rightfully termed insurrection. So in other words, Biden wasn't even a fucking president yet. And these fucking people were like, President-elect Biden is saying it's an insurrection, so we got to do something. So anyway, you know, as I said, folks, this woke culture is destroying this country. So the journalist went on, but the Twitter staff assigned to evaluate tweets quickly concluded that Trump had not violated Twitter's policies. Somebody said, I think we'd have a hard time saying this is incitement. Another person who stuck up for Trump said, it's pretty clear he's saying the American patriots are the ones who voted him in and not the terrorists. And so there was a lot of stuff going back and forth, okay? Twitter safety team decides that Trump's 7:44 a.m. tweet is also not in violation. It's clearly a no violation. It's just to say he's not attending the inauguration. And then another snowflake says, yeah, but people might be saying that this is the proof that he doesn't support a peaceful transition. So again, folks, people twisting words, people just looking for an excuse. And I don't know if some of you know, but the Ayatollah Khomeini, a fucking terrorist, is on Twitter. Okay. So anyway, less than 90 minutes after Twitter employees had determined that Trump's tweets were not in violation, a guy named Vijay Gad, Twitter's head of legal policy and trust, asked whether it could, in fact, be coded incitement to further violence. In other words, the top people were the ones that made a decision. So they were like, they were basically going back and forth. They said, this is an interesting question. You know, I'm not going to read every single thing here, but what they were basically, it was the top two people at Twitter. And I'm going to give you their names. The guy's name was Vijay Gad, was one of the names. And I'm trying to see the other guy's name. Anyway, there was two losers, which I want to call them, that they were basically, they're the ones that decided. Okay? I'm going to get their names here because I want to be totally fair with what I'm talking about. Okay. So Twitter moderators deliberated and concurred that Trump's tweet did not meet the standard for incitement of violence, but Twitter brass, which is the top two individuals at the top, Vijay Gad and Joel Roth, imposed their agenda on the situation and banned Trump anyways. And Elon Musk is the one that exposed all this. Okay. This is clearly election interference. Okay. So basically Trump is proven right. Again, Trump was right that an unelected cabal rigged the rules of the game in order to fix the outcome of the 2020 election and then shut down his ability to speak out about it. That should scare the fuck out of every person alive, folks. I don't know about you, but what in the fuck is going on here? And you know what I want to see? I mean, they say this is the Twitter files, but you know what I want to see? Fuck this. I want to see the fucking Facebook files. I want to see the Reddit files. I want to see the TikTok files. I want to see the Instagram files. I want to see the Discord files. I want to see every one of those platforms turned up. Again, though, Trump was right about everything. Every fucking thing Trump said was right. So Elon Musk's team is Matt Taibbi, which is a journalist, Barry Wise, Michael Schellenberger, have rummaged through millions of emails and messages from pre-Musk Twitter, and all they found was employees deliberating and consulting with each other about how to fairly apply and enforce rules. That's what's been going on. But to think about it, we have, you know, we're supposed to have a First Amendment of speech in this country. But you know, many of you listening to me, if you're right leaning, if you vote Republicans and you're conservative, if you spoke out on Twitter or even on Facebook during the 2020 election, I'm sure many of you have been banned from all kinds of shit. But I have a question. I have a question to my left-leaning friends, or to my people that are listening to me that are haters, that are socialist, that are Antifa supporters, that believe on defunding the police, or spitting on police, or believing that police are the problem. Yes, I'm talking to you motherfuckers. I have a question for you. How many of you have been banned from Twitter or Facebook? How is it that you have the freedom of speech to call conservatives racist without any evidence, to call people Nazis, to call people rednecks, hillbillies, you name it, you're fucking white, that means you're a racist? How do you have the ability on Twitter to bully and fucking harass people and you guys don't get banned? That's all I'm saying. I love it that Elon Musk, okay, and I don't care what political party you're from, Republican or Democrat, as an American, as a fucking human being, don't you agree that everybody should have the right to say what they want? You know, I was told if I didn't like something when I was younger, if I didn't like something I heard, just to ignore it. But now they want to just fucking shut you the fuck down. That's what I don't get. They just want to keep you silent. So it's undeniable proof that Twitter acted to steer the line of public discourse in the favor of their preferred political party, which is the Democrats, which benefited Joe Biden's administration. They used made-up justifications as a means to create reasoning to ban a sitting president of the United States. The question is, how many other times did this occur? That's what I want to know. That's what I really want to know, folks. And, you know, going on what I was saying, you know, I want to see the Facebook files. I want to see the YouTube and Google files. I want to see the Reddit files, the TikTok files, the Instagram files. I guarantee Trump was shadow banned on Facebook. We know it. We know that the Hunter laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop, anybody that spoke out about that during the election was flagged. I mean, transparency is the key here, folks. If we don't have a free country and free speech, what good is America? Why are we called the United States of America? Why do we have a United States Constitution? You might as well just rip it up and toss it in the trash if we don't have free speech. I mean, I feel like we're living in a communist country, folks. I am for fairness on both sides. Okay? Because, you know, we cannot have one party having social media favoritism. And, you know, they go on and on about what Trump said. But let me tell you his two main tweets. They go on and on about Donald Trump on January 6th. But let me tell you about his two main tweets that they complained about. Now, I want you to hear, listen to what I'm saying. You can look this up because it's true. Donald J. Trump, on January 6, 2021, when people were going to the Capitol, he said, "I am asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Remember, we are the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. Thank you." That's what our president said. Then he said, "Please support our Capitol police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful." Tell me anywhere there. I don't care. It doesn't matter if you voted for Biden. I don't care. I want an explanation that how are those two tweets inciting violence? In both tweets, he's basically saying support our law enforcement and our men in blue, men and women in blue. He's also saying that if you're going to the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. So he's supposed to take responsibility for people acting like animals and attacking people at the fucking Capitol? See, folks, this was a false narrative created by mainstream media and Democrats as we watched millions invade our country and traffic kids. All of this is a distraction, folks. That's what I'm saying. It's a distraction. They're not, you know, woke, this woke agenda, this anti-police rhetoric that we have spewing across the country, spewing into our college classrooms. We have professors We have liberal socialist communist teachers in school now, you know, talking to your kids, 5 and 6 years old, about fucking, you know, asking them basically, you know, how do you want to be recognized at? If you're a boy, they want to be like, do you want me to call you a girl? I mean, what the fuck, folks? I mean, we need fair and justification on Twitter. We don't need a double standard. The double standard is shown by the old management of Twitter. I mean, this is treasonous, folks. Shouldn't somebody go to jail for this? I would think so. You know, this was all planned. This was all planned. And for some, if you're listening to this, or if you see Elon Musk on Twitter and you believe that this is right, then why are you in America? I mean, I just don't get it. And all you hear people say is, oh, we want to see Donald Trump's taxes. Who gives a shit about his taxes? You know? The bottom line is, election interference is illegal. Biden is an illegitimate president. Did you hear me, folks? Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. Period. They took social media and went out to destroy Donald Trump. And they didn't even let the guy talk. They just said, you know what? Fuck you. We're fucking taking you off. We're taking you off of Twitter. Trump did none of the above. He even told the protesters to go home peacefully. I just read you the two tweets. You can pull up, put them up on your phone and fact check me, because I read the two tweets exactly how he said. Trump did not incite violence anywhere, shape or form. They don't have anything on this guy. It's pathetic, folks. It's 100% pathetic. This should be talked about on TV nonstop, but it's not. But again, what am I saying? Trump was right. Trump was right, people. Once again, Trump was right. So, that's the main thing I wanted to point out here in part five, or part three of the Public Enemy Number One files. And I will be back here shortly here in a couple days. And I don't know. I may be talking about some local issues. I don't know exactly. But I just wanted to just wrap this up. So this may be the last part of the Elon Musk thing, unless something else comes out. Right now, I will say this. Donald Trump yesterday basically said he has a big announcement tomorrow, which is actually today, Thursday, December 15th. It's early morning on the Thursday, December 15th. So what is Donald Trump going to talk about? I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I will be on here to discuss that. So let's see where we're at then. But anyway, I wanted to catch some of you on here up to speed about what's happening with the Elon Musk Twitter files. For those of you that are not on Twitter, because the mainstream media is not going to talk about this. You're not really going to hear a lot about this anywhere, except probably Tucker Carlson on Fox News goes into a lot of it, and so does Hannity. But you're not going to go to like CBS News. You're not going to find anything about it. Of course, they think this is all a joke, because of course they have their president, right? They wanted Joe Biden. They wanted somebody that's not going to hurt their feelings. Somebody that's just going to just go through the motions. But you know, I'm not satisfied with that. You know, I want somebody that's going to work for we the people. Shouldn't all of us want that? Shouldn't you want that? Even if, say, you don't believe in God, or if you don't believe in party affiliation, shouldn't every one of us humans on this planet want freedom? Shouldn't every one of us surely want freedom of speech? Freedom to go and do the things we want to do and prosper? Isn't this the American way? Doesn't capitalism rock? I mean, how am I wrong here? Show me, if you're a socialist, I'd like you to send me an email. realnewsocala@gmail.com. Tell me how socialism and communism is better than capitalism and freedom and democracy. Floor is all yours. Send me an email. Give me specifics, though. and tell me how socialism or communism has worked in every country. Because guess what? Everywhere socialism was implemented, the country fell and was destroyed. I'm just saying, folks, you need to look this shit up yourself. So for you younger people, because there was a poll over the summer done that most younger people in their 20s would rather have a socialist society than a capitalist one. I'm not sure what insanity that fucking came from, but most younger people say they want socialism. But they really don't want socialism because they don't know what socialism truly is. Socialism is pretty much living under an authoritarian dictatorship. And you will own nothing, and you will have nothing, only what the government gives you. Why in the fuck do I want to live like that? Why in the fuck do you want to live like that if you are a socialist and you're listening to me? Why? Please. Floor is all yours. RealNewsOcala@gmail.com. I'd like to hear from you. So anyway, I want to thank everybody once again for listening to the best podcast in Ocala, because it is. Thousands of people are listening to me, fucking thousands, folks, which I think is crazy, crazy to me. I mean, I have tens of thousands of you listening. One of my episodes is almost at 100,000 listeners now. And that episode is called Why Are We in Ukraine? Part one, not part two. But I have none of my other episodes are anywhere near almost 100,000. Some of them are 40 and 50,000 views, but most are hovering around 20 to 30,000 listeners, which is crazy to me. How are y'all listening to me? Somebody just took one of my episodes and fucking just sent it everywhere, because I know I'm not promoting a hell of a lot of it. I have my Twitter Real News with Lee Leffingwell page and my Facebook page, but everything changed after my one episode entitled Why Are We Really in Ukraine? I believe that's the exact title. Why Are We in Ukraine? Yeah. And I laid out the reasons why that you're not going to hear from the mainstream media, and you're not even going to hear from Fox News. So maybe that's the one that really sent me over the top. But I'm actually really proud of that episode. I did a lot of research probably a week prior to it. If you haven't heard it, go back and take a listen. And yeah, so once again, thank you to your listeners to keep me wanting to do this. I appreciate it. And thanks to all the email, good and bad. If you're a hater, hey, at least you're still listening. So keep on listening, and everybody stay safe out there. Okay? It's a crazy world now, folks. Shit's crazy. So that's what I'm here for, to talk about this stuff. So thanks once again to listening to the Real News with Lee Leffingwell podcast.